Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
This edition of our spring preview takes us to Oxford for the Ole Miss Rebels, a team that has a ton of preseason hype, and it's, I think it's justly deserved. Richard Cross joins us. I got him to do extra work. Never mind taking a day off. He's doing more than his fair share. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hello, Mr. Hey Dad.
How are you? It's good to see you.
You as well.
Is it weird to hear that if Ole Miss goes 9-3 and makes the Citrus Bowl this year, that's a disappointing season?
You know, it took me a long time to wrap my mind around that. And I actually asked Keith Carter about that in an interview that we did on the show. I was like, yeah, historically, a 9-win season is a great year, but with the expansion of the playoff and all of the excitement, the buildup, the hype, but more than that, the roster that they've got, that they've built through a combination of recruiting and the transfer portal and guys coming back, is it fair to say that anything short of the playoff is a disappointment? Because I feel like I've gotten to that point, and he agreed. He's like, yeah. He's like, the expectations are really high, but those are kind of the expectations that the head coach has put on it. And if you've listened to Lane Kiffin talk lately, it sounds like he really likes this team. I mean, it's rare for him to give anything that gives you a lot of insight, especially during the spring. But I feel like he believes this is a good team. It's a talented team. Obviously, you got a third-year starter at quarterback. It starts there. And so, yeah, and I think the schedule works to give them a chance to do that. You got to go out and do it, though.
You mentioned Dart, and you know the progression from year one to year two was that's kind of the natural progression you would expect from a four-star, five-star kind of player. You know, he got better. He was a better passer last year. He was more judicious with the ball. He was the key to a lot of Ole Miss wins last year. What's the step for him this year? Can he become an elite quarterback and a guy who at the end of the season will be looked at as a potential first-round draft choice?
You know, it's funny. I think if you go back to that very first year, because he had been at Southern Cal, because he had started at a program like that, the expectations were for kind of a polished veteran almost. And you forget the fact that, you know, 2 years prior he was in high school. And while, yes, he was highly thought of and highly recruited and all those things and had been at Southern Cal, he still had only played in like six games and had dealt with an injury, and he was in a new offense. And so I think all of those things kind of factored into that first year being good but not great. It was a significant step forward a year ago. I mean, to me this year, it's about making good decisions. I don't think we're ever going to accuse Jackson Arm of having – the strongest arm in college football. It's adequate, but it's not this, you know, huge. It's not a Matt Corral arm either, even from a couple of years ago. But he can make all the throws. And so it's decision-making. And hey, Dad, for me, it's as much decision-making on when to take a hit and when not to take a hit. Because this is the guy that over the last couple of years has taken some big shots. He always gets up from them. He stays in games, but each of the last couple of years, he's not finished the year healthy. I mean, he kind of gutted it out at the end of the season a year ago. So I think that's part of the maturity process, continuing to understand what they're trying to accomplish offensively, how they're trying to, you know, to get to an end game. It's not so much, hey, what we're doing on this play, but it's within the confines of the game plan and what the defense is giving you. You know, how do you best put your team in a position to win? When do you gamble? When do you take a smart play? What's a calculated risk? And I think all those things come easier with experience.
I listened to Cole Kublik's podcast on Sunday. He was doing a preview of Ole Miss. And he talked about the offensive line transfers that the Rebels brought in. And I feel like they got lost in the headlines, you know, with Juice Wells and Walter Nolan and those big names. Ole Miss really reshaped its offensive line this year. Is that going to be a strength for the Rebels this year?
Well, they certainly hope so, and probably need it to be because of a relative lack of experience at running back and from the standpoint that you would like to try and keep Jackson Dart healthy. Ole Miss ran the ball fine a year ago, but I really feel like for the last 2 years, they have run the ball well because of scheme, not because of talent on the offensive front. You know, scheme and a pretty special running back there that didn't need much of a hole. And so an upgrade there, I think, is important. You remember after the Georgia game last year where Lane Kiffin Nell pretty famously talked about the fact that, you know, we don't look like Georgia up front. I think that changed the way they went through the recruiting process, whether it was high school or portal, obviously more portal than anything else. They were looking for bigger, more physical offensive linemen. Now, the hard part is that's what everybody wants, right? I mean, everybody wants their offensive linemen to look like Georgia's or Alabama's or LSU's. Getting that done is hard, but I do think they're better up front. This is very anecdotal, and you wouldn't expect a defensive player to speak ill of his teammates, especially in the spring. But you had a defensive lineman was talking with the media a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, man, this group's tough up front. And I don't know that you had those sound bites, whether they were true or not, a year ago. Certainly not in the spring, you know, when you're still several months away from the season. So certainly the coaching staff feels like and hopes that they have upgraded at the offensive line. And, you know, as you sit here, what we're in April, so you're still 5 months from the start of the season. It looks like that's going to be the case.
I thought last year Ole Miss was obviously a lot better defensively than they were in 2022, and I thought a big part of that was the big plays that they created. I think they led the SEC in turnover margin. They were top four in sacks, top four in tackles for losses. They weren't necessarily a defense that was just stifling. They made big plays. This year's defense, with some of the additions, I feel can be an elite defense if things go right for them. You know, how much better is this defense going to be with year two of Pete Golding?
Well, the fact that they're not having to learn the system from scratch, I think, is the starting point. Lane's talked about that some in the spring. That he really likes where they are, that they're farther along in terms of installation on both sides of the ball. You know, you're looking for playmakers, though, right? You're looking for difference makers on that side of the ball. And so if you kind of go three levels of the defense, okay, who is that up front on the defensive line? Well, you obviously talk about Walter Nolan, but you got a couple of pretty experienced guys coming back in J.J. Pegues and Xavion Harris, not to mention Jared Ivey at an end spot. So Nolan's kind of the headline grabber there, but then you've got other pieces. And then at linebacker, you know, Poupal, very much a proven linebacker in the SEC. It's still weird calling him that. I mean, his name is Chris. He prefers to go by Poupal Jr., so I guess we'll go with that. He's a tackling machine. He was at Arkansas on a bad defense.
Richard, have you call me that from now on? I'm just going to do that. So.
All right, Pooh, hey, Dad. We'll go with that.
My mom called me Boo Bear when I was a kid, if you want to go with that. So.
Boo Bear. I like that. And then the secondary, I think, is interesting. They've added some pieces there. Lane Kiffin has kind of raved about Trey Amos, the addition from Alabama. And, you know, his most recent press conference stood out to me. He mentioned Nick Saban like 17 times during that press conference. But it wasn't like the old way that he mentioned Nick Saban, where he was needling and jabbing. He was talking about both players and coaches being trained under Nick Saban. He's like, when you get a player that's played under Nick Saban, you know what you're getting because they have been taught to practice a certain way. And he said that's especially the case when you're talking about a defensive back, where Nick Saban was kind of hands-on in that. So can this defense take another step forward? Yeah, I think so, because they're better from a personnel standpoint and they're deeper. You know, will they lead the SEC in turnovers forced again? I don't know. I do think they're going to be able to put some pressure on the quarterback. And I think there's a little more depth there in the middle at linebacker. And that just, you know, for the last few years, that's been a position where they've had good players, but they haven't had much depth. And haven't been able to really sustain injuries that come along the way. So a deeper defense that's more talented seems to point toward a better overall defense.
I've done a bunch of these previews so far, and I keep asking the same question about who's a new face from the portal that you expect to have a big impact. You can't do that question with Ole Miss because it's all roster. So I'm going to flip it around. Give me somebody who's been there for a few years you think this could be a breakout season for them.
about one? Breakout. I'm thinking about Micah Pettis on the offensive line. He's been good, but people have talked about holding penalties. He obviously was not healthy at the end of the year, and the frustration with the holding penalties was forgotten pretty quickly when Ole Miss went about three games without him in the lineup, and we're like, oh, wait, that guy was pretty good. He was pretty important to the success of this offensive line. I think a solid year from Micah Pettis could lead to him being a, you know, third, fourth-round draft pick as an offensive lineman. Who knows, maybe higher than that when it's all said and done. But I also can't help but go to wide receiver. And Trey Harris would be the obvious answer, but he's kind of already broken out. I feel like Jordan Watkins continues to get just kind of lost in the shuffle. There were times where he was the most important wide receiver a year ago because he was able to stay healthy and he was on the field regularly. I think he's the guy that Jackson Dart trusts maybe more than anybody else. Clearly, Trey Harris is the most talented of the wide receiver group. But Jordan Watkins falls into that category for me. And then if you flip to the defensive side, I know you asked for one and I'm giving you three. It's kind of a toss up to me on that defensive line with Jared Ivey, who has just quietly put up really good numbers over the last couple of seasons, and JJ Pegues, who's been talked about. I mean, it feels like he's been at Ole Miss forever. And it's like, we forget that he started his career at Auburn. You know, an Oxford kid that decided to leave, goes to Auburn, comes back, has been a contributor. I feel like continuing to kind of grow into a really important piece on that defensive line and can be so disruptive. There's just so much athleticism there with him.
It's sort of weird to look a season ahead, but you know, when I talk about State and Ole Miss, I always talk about cycles. I say you have a couple of up years, you can have a couple of down years, and you'd be in the middle some. Ole Miss, on the other hand, you know, 10 wins in 2021. They felt like they were down in 2022 when they won eight. They won 11 last year, and now we're talking about a potential playoff team. Do you feel like Ole Miss is close to breaking the cycle and becoming a more consistent 9-10 win kind of team? Or do you look ahead to next year, okay, Dart leaves and they lose a lot of these guys, and next year could be a step back to 7-8 wins?
I don't know, because I don't know what the schedule is going to look like yet. I mean, I know we have the schedule for 2025, but it sounds like there's a chance that that Southern Cal game is going to go away. And if they don't make the trip to Los Angeles in that season opener, my guess is that gets replaced with directional somebody. And so that probably makes a difference in terms of a win. Not to say that there's no way they could win that game, but there are a lot of unknowns, right? I mean, absolutely unknown at the quarterback position. You're going to be unknown at the running back position. You're going to lose some of those pieces we were talking about on the offense line. You're going to lose Walter Nolan on the defensive line. And we don't know what he's going to look like in an Ole Miss uniform yet anyway. So, I think it stands to reason that you would look at them and go, okay, there's not going to be the same level of hype around Ole Miss going into 2025 as there is going into 2024. And that is completely reasonable. But at the same time, we've also seen that in this era of college football, your ability to reshape your roster very, very quickly and maybe have those expectations not drop off year over year is something that's in place. And if Ole Miss is able to capitalize on the expectations this year, it's hard for me to believe that people won't be willing to do what they are asked to do in terms of donating money to the Grove Collective and having plenty of money there to try and go out and add pieces and sustain through the transfer portal. You know, I'm with you. 2-3 years ago, 4-5 years ago, certainly you would have said, yeah, 2025 is going to be a rebuilding year. And then hopefully, you know, 2026, and you're working toward like a 27 run. I just don't know that you can even accurately predict that right now. But I do think that given that you're losing a 3-year starting quarterback and a lot of other important pieces, and I don't know if this is answering your question, but the hype surrounding Ole Miss is likely to be less going into 25 than it is in 24.
Shall see. It's going to be I feel like it's going to be a long year for me on Sports Talk Mississippi. I got high. I wouldn't say I have high hopes, but I have high expectations for the Ole Miss Rebels this year, and I do believe they will be making a playoff run. So Richard will be happy. We'll see how I feel when we get into the season. Richard Cross, Sports Talk Mississippi, ESPN, Ole Miss Network. I mean, he does it all.
Not really Ole Miss Network stuff anymore. Not much of it anymore.
You're in the bullpen for them. Like, they're you know, you're just a phone call away.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah, exactly. So David Kellum's got to retire at some point.
David Kellum has earned the right to do that whenever the heck he wants to.
No, I'm not saying that we're pushing him out the door. I'm just saying I know who the first call is going to be. So,
yeah, we'll see. Always fun, buddy.
All right.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.